96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You know, it happens all the time on the job. Someone gets moved, demoted, even fired. For no apparent reason, they may be replaced even by someone of the opposite sex or someone of a different race or even someone younger. Is that job discrimination? How do you know? What can you prove? What can you do? We're talking about that tonight. My guests are Sean Talley. He's a human resources expert and CEO of Performances Strategies, LLC. And Chantel Hebert. She is an employment and labor rights attorney. Lines are open if you have a question about employment discrimination. If you believe that you've been discriminated against, we'd like to hear from you. Also, if you own a business, what do you need to watch out for to make sure you stay on the right side of the law? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldTFisher or follow us on the Daily Drum at Daily Drum WHUR. That's on Twitter, of course. Sean and Chantel, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, let's first start with what is employment discrimination? Chantel, how do you know?
Well, employment discrimination basically is when someone is treated differently because of a protected category. That category could be race, sex, disability, age, military or veteran status, any protected categories, whether it's under a federal, state, or local law.
Mm-hmm.
When you are subjected to different treatment or adverse employment actions based on one of those protected categories, that is employment discrimination.
But a lot of times, particularly in this modern era, it's not just about those categories that you've mentioned. Sometimes, particularly as it relates to women, they may be discriminated against because they are perhaps just getting married or thinking about having children, or maybe they've had children. And employers may be reluctant to, you know, hire them or put them even in positions of responsibility because they feel they may lose them to child rearing, childbirth. Your thoughts about that, Chantel? Isn't that also a form of discrimination?
Yes, it is, but it's less blatant and less actionable. So, for example, I have a good friend, one of my law school colleagues, who has told me off record that she's a recruiter now. She's a legal recruiter, and she has had employers specifically tell her they do not want female candidates who are recently married. For the exact reason you said. They think this person is recently married. She's probably going to, you know, be trying to start a family. Her priorities are otherwise. And so, of course, they can't say that. They can't put that in the job description. They can't put that, you know, in any advertisements. And they can't say that that's the reason they didn't choose, an individual. But those are more subtle forms of discrimination. And if you can prove it, that comes back to sex,
mm-hmm.
right? Because usually they won't say, we won't hire a male because he was just married, because they automatically assume that the child rearing responsibilities and child care responsibilities will fall on the female.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could prove you were not selected for a position based on your gender, your sex, then that is a form of discrimination.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about discrimination on the job. Do you believe that you've been discriminated against? How do you know? And what do you do? Okay, so Sean, can we trust the human resources people? Because if something happens and they put it in the company handbook, if you feel that you have a grievance, that you've been discriminated against, go straight to human resources. Who do you work for? Are you working for the employee or the employer?
That's a good question, Harold. What I tell people in these situations is your human resources staff is actually looking out for the liability of the organization. So that's a little bit different than looking out for the employee or the employer. So sometimes employees think, oh, HR is cozy with management. Truth be told, your HR team doesn't care at all about your management. They'll throw them under the bus to protect the company. So again, it's all about protecting the company's liability. So can you trust your HR? Well, I say proof is in the pudding. So when you started your company, was there an orientation class that had an ethics and compliance component that taught you about your rights about harassment and discrimination? Are there postings and whatnot across your work site so you can see exactly where the company is coming from that standpoint? And finally, look at the staff there. Look at the people that have been hired. So there really is a gut test that you can do with these sorts of things to determine, okay, what kind of role HR is playing, because also we hire the people. So if we're hiring one type of person and excluding different types of people, that might let you know that you might not be able to trust your HR staff.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about employment discrimination. Chantel, we hear this on the legal shows all the time. There is what you know and what you can prove. How significant is it to be able to prove a feeling that you've been discriminated against? It's got to be difficult.
It is very difficult. And, of course, this is not 1950s, you know, people aren't blatantly using, or usually aren't blatantly using derogatory terms.
And unless, of course, you're talking about tennis, and we've heard that the man who just resigned from, one of the tennis, right, major tennis leagues. Yeah. So I would beg to differ. But then again, he was probably raised in that time. But please continue.
Right. No. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It absolutely happens. But it happens a lot less.
Okay.
And the other issue is that one time someone calling you, because there's, of course, standards for proving employment discrimination, legal standards. So for something to happen to you one time, it still might not rise to the level of actionable discrimination. So it literally has to be an ongoing thing. So someone can call you, one person can call you a derogatory term, but if that person is not in a position to demote you or promote you, or, if they are in the same level or beneath you, that's not actionable, especially if it does not happen repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's levels to proving it. And again, so many times now, it just, the reason is given, it's just a personality conflict.
I see.
It's just, oil and water. These two people don't get along. So it's hard to prove otherwise.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kim, calling from Lorton, Virginia. Thanks for calling, Kim. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
3 months ago, I was laid off from my job, and I was told it was because of cutbacks. And this is after being approved for a raise. Recently I was just told just this week that they are getting ready to hire a white female, and I'm an African American male. So my question is, would I have a case to go after them for discrimination?
Well, first of all, did you sign a severance agreement when you left?
I did.
Okay. Did that severance agreement contain a release of all claims in it?
I'm not 100% sure.
You might want to really reread the fine print there. So typically in a severance agreement, it's going to contain a release of all claims where for you to get that money, you sign saying, I'm not going to bring anything, any charges against you in the future. So you might want to look at that.
Okay.
Yeah, take a look at that.
Okay. Kim, thanks for calling. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Tim. Tim, calling from Southeast D.C. Thanks for calling, Tim. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? About 2 years ago, I worked for Comcast. And what happened is during Comcast, you had to be in the training class. And I passed all the training. I passed all the classes. And I was hired as an employee. What happened is I asked the trainer, is there, they had a climbing on top of buildings and everything. I asked the trainer one day, is there a weight limit to the ladder? Because it was a sticker that was ripped off on mine, and I think it said 300. Well, at the time, I was 315 pounds. I'm 6'7", and everything else, my weight class.
Mm-hmm.
Once I asked that question, it seemed like everything went into a frenzy. They tried to send my position. They tried to tell me there wasn't a position open for me anymore. They tried to send me to a lower position that was out West Baltimore, and knowing I couldn't make it there. And then when I went through HR and I went through the D.C. Building that handles discrimination, nothing was done.
Well, Tim, I'm sorry that that happened to you. Now, if you were able to go to a doctor, and again, I don't know your I know you said 6'7" and the weight. Now, if you were able to get your doctor to certify you as being obese, then you could have had a claim for ADA, perhaps. But unfortunately, going through the EEOC, which is kind of the clearinghouse that you need to go through to put a case forward, it has a 180-day statute of limitations from the last discriminatory event. So 2 years ago, you'd be a little bit out of that.
Okay. But I guess my ultimate question, is there a form of discrimination on someone's weight? Like, say this happened to a female that worked at another job. Could they discriminate?
For the weight in itself, that is not a protected class. Now, if the weight is to a point where you have a medical condition and your doctor is saying that you're obese and you need certain accommodations due to your weight, then you would now be protected at that point through the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Interesting. Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call, Tim. I wanted to briefly ask Chantel something that I think is really important. Chantel, as you know, there are jobs and then there are jobs. Some jobs are very, very high profile, and that they are certainly attached to the brand of a particular employer organization. Let's take television, for example. Usually you have anchor desks, man and woman, sometimes black, sometimes white, Asian, Hispanic, and the like. What happens when you have jobs that are so dependent on the image, and perhaps a hiring person says, well, you know, we need to get, you know, another woman up there instead of the guy that we have there, or another guy up there instead of the woman that we have up there, or not, because that may be seen as part of the business and understood. Is there a fine line there?
Absolutely. There are what's called legitimate job considerations, legitimate job requirements. And when you do get to that level, and, you know, just for the example you gave with anchors on television, mm-hmm. before anybody is offered those positions, they're usually test, quality tests done and
interviews,
surveys,
yeah.
Exactly.
And auditions,
so if the audience is not responding to you, if the ratings are down, they can point to those ratings and say, well, we have higher ratings when there's a male-female ratio. We have higher ratings when there are, you know, these racial, you know, I mean, they respond to their audiences. So those are legitimate because they can relate it to the business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's harder to do for somebody who, you know, delivers water.
Good point. I need to take a break, but before I do, real quick, Sean, for those who are interested in finding out more about what you do, how can they find you online?
You can find me at performancestrategies-ps.com.
Performancestrategies-ps.com. And for you, Chantel, if someone's looking for a labor attorney or employment attorney, how can they find you?
I am a management side labor attorney, and I can be found at www.taylorenglish.com.
TaylorEnglish.com. Well, stay with us. David, Pam, Roland, do not hang up. We will be taking your calls in just a few moments. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Stay with us.